from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, yeah. What's going on, DMV? You know who it is. Youngest in Charge Movement. Linnell Willingham here with you live and local on 106.7 The Fan and always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. Ride with me. It'll take you up to 10 o'clock here on this Thursday night edition of Overtime. Jam-packed show to get to. The start of the college football season continues here tonight. Big time game on nationally on ESPN. Coach Prime in the Colorado Buffaloes open up their season. We'll take a look at that before we get out of here. We'll have a couple of guests stop by the program as well. Our pal David Harrison of the Locked On Commanders podcast set to join us coming up at 8:15. We'll also be joined by our pal Charles Davis of the NFL Network in the 9 o'clock hour as we take a spin around the National Football League. So make sure you keep it locked all night here to Overtime. As we got a lot to get to. One week from today, the start of the National Football League season, Ravens and Chiefs from out at Arrowhead. It'll be the ring ceremony for Kansas City. We get to take a look at the new look, Baltimore Ravens as well. Before we get to week one, though, there's always some housekeeping things that we got to take care of before we get the regular season on and popping for real. And what better time than to bring you all another installment of Nell's Super Six Pack? Uh-oh. Is that breaking news? I think we have breaking news. This is from, the NFL Network. Our pal Ian Rappaport. Niners Brandon Ayuk agreeing to a 4-year, $120 million contract extension, $76 million in guarantees. $76 million in guarantees for Brandon Ayuk as the disgruntled 49ers wideout officially back with the San Francisco 49ers. It's a perfect segue because, as I was saying, 1 week away from the start of the season, what better time to give you all the first installment of the 2024 NFL season, the first installment of the most highly anticipated power ranking segment and all of Sports Talk Radio, Nell's Super Six Pack. We will get to that before we get out of here. Little quick teaser for you. The San Francisco 49ers did not make Nell's Super Six Pack because I was concerned that they don't have Brandon Ayuk in house. They're playing a game of cat and mouse with Trent Williams. We'll see if we can edit the list before we get to it, before we get to the top of the 9 o'clock hour. But getting things started here, it was a busy night last night around the Beltway as the Washington Nationals were in action. We saw the Commanders add to their wide receiver core. We'll start with the Curly W's. Dylan Cruz in his first career homer last night in leadoff fashion. He also added an RBI double off the wall in the fourth. Nats come up with a huge series win against the best team in the American League. And if you watched at all last night, and if you've watched this series here over the early portion of this week, it is very clear for the Washington Nationals that the future, my friends, is now.
And the pitch swung on it high in the air to left field. Verdugo going back. Still back to the warning track, to the wall. And it is gone! Goodbye! Bang! Zoom goes Dylan Cruz with a majestic soaring fly ball that just kept on going. Into the back of the Yankees bullpen in left center field. A game leadoff home run, his first in the major leagues for Dylan Cruz. And his family, well, they're on their feet. It's the Nationals 1 and the Yankees nothing.
Here's the pitch. Cruz hits a line drive deep left center field toward the gap. Way back it goes, and it's one hop off the base of the wall. Young will score. Nunez to third. The throw into second is handled behind the bag by LeMahieu. He's going to throw to third, and Nunez is out, overrunning the bag. Nationals lead 5-1 on the Cruz double. Dylan Cruz has his fourth hit and his second RBI tonight. What a series Dylan Cruz has had here, his first in the big leagues. A rocket off the wall in left center.
Dylan Cruz, a big part of the Nats upending the New York Yankees in this series. They take 2 out of 3 against the Bronx Bombers. Juan Soto, 0-for-12 in his return this time around to Nats Park. Couple of good starting pitching outings for Washington. Obviously, Patrick Corbin the other night giving you arguably the best performance he's had since the 2019 World Series. But as I said, the future is now for the Washington Nationals. They begin a 3-game series against the Cubbies on Friday with Jake Irvin set to get the first start in that series. But the future is now for this group. So exciting getting to see Dylan Cruz waste no time going yard. I believe he's, 4-for-11 here to start in his major league career. Not bad numbers at all. But guys like Jose Tania, who the Nats traded for, has looked really good. Dylan Cruz looks excellent. James Wood hitting it well. And the thing that I'm starting to learn here about James Wood, so much discipline at the plate. And for a young hitter to already have that mentality, to already have that discipline at the plate is huge. We've seen the young pup DJ Hurst pitching well as of late. An all-star season for our guy CJ Abrams. I think the big question going forward for the Washington Nationals is this. Is this the offseason for Mike Rizzo and company to go spend the bag? Is this the offseason for Mike Rizzo and company to come out and be aggressive when it comes to improving this roster? That's the big question, right? Patrick Corbin's money. Finally going to be off the books. You got a real big need for a middle-of-the-order bat. You can use some major help at first base. The number one thing I'm looking at here, though, and I know a lot of you Nats fans out there are going to say, Juan Soto. That's what we all care about, is can we get Juan Soto back in the nation's capital? I would say maybe tread lightly on that. Because think about this from Washington's perspective. You're already paying, or let me put it this way. If Dylan Cruz and James Wood turn into the players that we know they can, it's going to be a lot of money allocated to your position groups and not starting pitching. That's what I think is the most important thing right now for the Nats, getting an established veteran starting pitcher in here to really lead this rotation moving forward. Man, that to me is by far their biggest need. Don't know the future of Josiah Gray. Didn't get to see Cade Cavalli this year. Bright moments from DJ Hers, Jake Irvin, Mackenzie Gore. We've seen quality stuff from them, but realistically, I think long-term, I don't even want to say long-term, in the short-term, rather, when you're trying to compete, and I think next year the goal for that group should be to be a National League wildcard team. I don't know how competitive they'll be within the NL East. But the wild card and being in that wild card race and picture the entirety of the season should be the bare minimum goal for the Washington Nationals. As we mentioned, though, they're back at home on Friday to take on the Chicago Cubs. We'll see Jake Irvin on the bump looking for win number 10 on the season. I mentioned busy evening yesterday around the Beltway. Right before Grant and Danny went off of the air, we had this big-time news break. The Washington Commanders doing what we all had begged of them to do. Doing what we all pleaded for them to do. That was adding a veteran wide receiver to this wide receiver group. They go out and get arguably the best guy on the market in Noah Brown, the former wide receiver for the Houston Texans. The reason we kept connecting the dots here, though, he was formerly of the Dallas Cowboys, overlapped with his time here, overlapped with Dan Quinn's time, rather, in Dallas. I really think adding him to the mix, getting a player of his caliber at this stage of the offseason, I think it's a rare and unique opportunity. I love the move. It was expected. It was needed, right? Let's just cut the crap here. It was needed. And I think all the reports that we saw today, Jayden Daniels making a concerted effort to get working with him after practice, that's what you need, because I think the expectation is that between now and next Sunday, wow, I almost got to pinch myself. Next Sunday, man, we already at it. Next Sunday on the road, 4:25 p.m. Eastern time in Tampa, we don't know who the number two wide receiver is going to be to this point. Could it be third-round rookie Luke McCaffrey? Could it be veteran free agent acquisition Olamide Zaccheaus? Could it be former third-round pick De'Ami Brown? We don't know to this point. One guy that's going to be in the mix, I think for sure, though, is Noah Brown. Looking at the numbers he put up the last couple of years, 5 touchdowns, over 1,000 yards receiving, caught 76 balls. He is a guy that, like I continue to say, getting him at this stage in the offseason, the best way I could put it, a rare, unique opportunity. And some folks are probably thinking, well, man, why go after a guy like Noah Brown, who, let's just call a spade, kind of got lost in the mix when it comes to his time in Houston with the Texans, with Nico Collins and Tank Dell and Dalton Schultz. But there were some big-time performances a season ago from our guy Noah Brown, really a 2-game stretch in which you talk to people around the Texans organization. He won back-to-back football games for them early on in the season. November 5th, at home against Tampa, they were 39-37 winners. Noah Brown, 6 catches, 153, and a touchdown. The following week, on the road, in really what was their signature win of the season to start off, on the road against Cincinnati, 30-27 winners. Noah Brown, 7 catches, 172, no touchdowns in that one, but you start to get an idea of the impact that this young man can make. 6'2", 215 pounds, has the ability to stretch defenses vertically. I think he's physical at the catch point. I think he's a more than willing blocker. He fits the mold of exactly what Adam Peters and company were looking for, bringing in another wide receiver. And I don't want to make an apples-to-apples comparison, but it gives you a better understanding of how we're evaluating this thing here. Jahan Dotson and Noah Brown, in terms of who they are as players, polar opposites. And Adam Peters and company have elaborated on why that the Jahan Dotson move was made. And I continue to say, I believe them. It's no shade at Jahan. He just does not fit what they're currently trying to do. They're redundant at the receiver position when it comes to height, weight, speed. Zaccheaus, Dotson, Jamison Crowder, might as well all be the same damn dude. Might as well all be the same person. So moving off of him, getting resources in return for him is massive, massive, if you are Adam Peters and company. You have to be feeling really damn good, or a lot better, rather, about your wide receiver room as you sit here today compared to how you felt at about 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern time yesterday. You have to. I think it's a night and day difference of the receiving room. We'll get to some other problem spots throughout the roster as we move throughout the show here tonight, but I think adding another veteran, another established veteran to the mix was paramount for Adam Peters and company. Now, look, I don't know how productive Noah Brown's going to be. I don't know exactly what they're going to get out of Noah Brown, but I do know this. if Terry McLaurin goes down, before signing Noah Brown, I was saying, if Terry goes down, you all of a sudden have the worst wide receiver room in all of the National Football League. I don't think that's the case anymore with Noah Brown going down. Speaking of wide receiver, as we mentioned, breaking news that we got right here at the top of the show, the 38-day hold-in officially over for Brandon Ayuk in the San Francisco 49ers. They signed him to a four-year, $120 million contract, $76 million of which is guaranteed. So buckle up. We'll see if he is ready in time to be on the field week one for that Monday night game against the New York Jets. The other big problem, though, still facing Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch, and the Niners, is that, look, it's one thing to get Brandon Ayuk back in-house, but if you expect to go into the regular season, if you expect to go into the regular season without the best left tackle in the National Football League and think the results aren't going to change, you, my friend, are tripping. It's the People Show. You all know how I get down. You can tap in with me one of two ways all show long. MGM, National Harbor Listener Lines, wide open, 1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. Plenty more to get to as we get you geared up for the start of the college football season. Coach Prime in Colorado will get us kicked off here tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern time. We got a big weekend slate of college football coming up as well. We'll be joined at the 9 o'clock hour by former Clemson head coach Tommy Bowden to talk more about the college football season. We'll take our first time out, though. When we come back, Adam Peters, general manager of the Washington Commanders, joined Grant and Danny earlier this afternoon. We'll play the best of AP with G&D next here on The Fan.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just getting rolling here on this Thursday night edition of Overtime. You're tapped in to the youngest in charge movement. Linnell Willingham will take you up to 10 o'clock before handing things over to Bart Winkler in the Infinity Sports Network. Programming note coming up at about 8:15. Our pal David Harrison, the host of the Locked On Commanders podcast, set to join us. We'll get his thoughts after hearing from Adam Peters, Dan Quinn, and Jaden Daniels today. So make sure you keep it locked for that. Speaking of Adam Peters, the new general manager of the Washington Commanders, he's been pretty generous with his time, being really good to the local media, including our pals Grant and Danny right here on The Fan. He joined G&D earlier today at about 4 o'clock. We'll play you some cuts from that, but overall, before we get into the individual comments from Adam Peters, I want to just continue to highlight in a harp on what I have pretty much said all offseason long. We are at the mercy of the evaluator. And I guess on cut down day or the day after cut down day, it finally felt like, you know what? Maybe I'm starting to get a little bit impatient when it comes to what Adam Peters and company are doing in year one at the helm here in Washington. One thing we all wanted this team to do, one thing we all wanted this team to check in on was disgruntled 49ers wide receiver Brandon Ayuk. We gave you the breaking news before we got out of the opening segment. Brandon Ayuk, 4 years, $120 million, $76 million guaranteed to stay with the San Francisco 49ers. His 38-day holdout over. Some interesting commentary and language on the X app. Adam Schefter is reporting that, and I'm knowing where this is coming from, Schefter is reporting that Ayuk took the same deal that had been on the table for the past couple of weeks from San Francisco. Now, Ayuk's agent quickly came out and shut that rumor down because that would make his client look like an absolute jackass. But at the end of the day, I think San Francisco, while it's good that they got Ayuk signed, their bigger issue and where my concern would be and where all my attention would go is the fact that Trent Williams is not counting against your 53-man roster right now because he's on the did-not-report list. And Washington fans here locally, we know better than anybody, when Trent wants his bag, Trent's going to get his bag. Think about the last time Trent Williams was in a contract dispute. He ended up a member of the 49ers. So while it's good that San Francisco got that deal done with Ayuk, I think the bigger question mark for them right now is how long are we going to have to go without Trent Williams? And I will say this, not having Trent Williams is a massive, massive deal. And I know it doesn't take, you know, a sports analyst to say that, but it just is what it is. He is arguably the greatest left tackle in the history of the National Football League. So not having him in-house, major, major blow for the San Francisco 49ers. We'll see where San Francisco is ranked or if they're even ranked a little bit later on in the show when we do Nell's Super Six Pack, my top six teams in the NFL as we sit 1 week out from the start of NFL training camp. But right now, though, I want to get to Adam Peters from earlier today. Adam Peters joined Grant and Danny right here on The Fan. You can go back on the free Odyssey app and listen to the interview in its entirety. Couple of interesting nuggets that Adam Peters gave in his interview earlier. If we've got cut number nine ready, here is Adam Peters talking earlier about acquiring Texans wide receiver Noah Brown via free agency.
Yeah, Noah Brown was someone we actually were pursuing in free agency too, and he didn't come to us for different reasons, but someone we've had our eye on for a long time, someone I've had my eye on for a long time since he was at Ohio State. The champion, if I'm going to give credit to one person, Lance Newmark was the champion in the building for Noah, and he loved him for his play on the field and the style of play that he had, not only his ability but his play style, where he identified him as a commander and a guy who plays the way we want to play. So when we had the chance to get him at the price we got him at, it was a no-brainer. We jumped right on it, called his agent, and got him here in no time. So I really commend our scouting staff to be being ready for that, understanding that may happen, and pouncing on it immediately so we could be first in line.
Adam Peters giving us the skinny as to how Noah Brown became a member of the Washington Commanders. I had said it yesterday when I joined Chris Russell over on the Team 980. You can check that out weekdays 1-4 over on our sister station. I said, look, if Washington goes into week one with their receiving core as is, without making any moves, you were one injury away, to Terry McLaurin for that matter, from being the worst wide receiving core in the National Football League. That's not a superlative you want to have attached to you when you have a rookie signal caller in Jayden Daniels. So the fact that they showed the urgency to go out and get another guy, I think it's huge. It makes me feel a hell of a lot better about what they're doing. But I also want to caution the fan base on Noah Brown. And this is not me trying to talk trash about Noah Brown. This is me being objective, right? Got to be fair about this. You can't sugarcoat stuff. You can't BS the fans. While I like the Noah Brown signing, the one thing that I would say is really held Noah Brown back in his career is injuries. He has not been able to stay healthy throughout his time in the National Football League. I mentioned the two games that we saw him play really well in last year for Houston, the Cincinnati game. We saw him go Kanye crazy, and then it was the game against Tampa, where back-to-back 100-yard games. Noah Brown last year, though, did not play in 17 games and ultimately got shut down during the season because he could not stay healthy. That is my one concern and issue if you're Washington with Noah Brown. I also may add another body to the receiving room for that reason. You got to have insurance when it comes to these guys. You can't put yourself in a situation where you're caught with your pants down. And I think Washington, although they've strengthened their wide receiver room by adding Brown, I would hope that that is not the final move we're going to see from them at wide receiver. Adam Peters, new Commanders general manager, joined our pals Grant and Danny earlier today. Another really interesting bite he gave. It's cut number three if we got it ready. It was Adam Peters talking about what success looks like in 2024 for the Washington Commanders.
Yeah, I think you do get into trouble looking too far down the road. And so, again, you know, you're probably going to get a radio show full of cliches here, but we're really, every single day we're trying to get better. And I think that's how we look at it. And if we got better today, we had a really good day of practice today. Guys looked really good. The guys were into it before we have a 3-day break before we get back and start working for Tampa. So we went out and got a lot better today, I thought. And that's the outlook you have each day, each week. You're getting better and you're stacking up days. And then if you do that and you get better each day, you're going to like what it looks like at the end of the year.
I love Adam Peters just being 110% transparent. I'm giving you a little bit of GM coach speak, some cliches earlier today on the Grant and Danny program, but like, what else do you want from him? I don't get angry at that stuff. I do think there's something to take away from that, because I think as a fan base, there are varying expectation levels throughout the fan base. I think I'm a fan that honestly has tempered my expectations a little bit after that final initial 53 was released. I think best case scenario, this is a 9-10 win football team, but I could also see this team finishing 4-13 once again. It's just the reality of the situation. There are a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of unknown. And they're relying upon a lot of different guys that simply have not done it at this level before. They just haven't. So that's a dangerous game to play. But ultimately, I think my optimism with this group lies solely in Jayden Daniels, in my thought about him potentially, you know, quickly putting himself in that category of being a top 10 to 12 quarterback in the National Football League. I think that can happen right away. Where I think he ultimately gets is we talk about him in the same light we talk about Pat, talk about Mahomes, Lamar, Burrow, Josh Allen. I think Jayden Daniels has that type of talent. I think Jayden Daniels has that type of work ethic. But we all know this about young quarterbacks and their success in the National Football League. I say it all the time. It is a lot of the times dependent upon fit. And I would say at first blush, Jayden Daniels' fit here in Washington is pretty damn good. Here is new Commanders general manager Adam Peters, who joined Grant and Danny earlier today. Here is Adam Peters talking about balancing the rebuild versus trying to win now.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could do them both at the same time. So it's not so much a tug of war. It's just, but it is a balance. And make no mistake about it, I've said this, and I'm probably repeating myself a few times. It's not a rebuild, it's a recalibration, and we are trying to win right now, and we do have goals to be really good this season. But it is my job as a general manager, and really in conjunction with DQ, and we make every decision together, is to be good now and to build for a sustainable team for the future, to a team that you guys will see competing for championships every year.
Yeah, I mean, that is really, to me, a situation that balance, that's what it's all about. That's the difficult part of Adam Peters' job, and I think moving on from Jahan Dotson is a part of that. Having Jahan Dotson on this roster would have made you better for this year, but moving him and getting future draft capital helps you for tomorrow, so to speak. And I don't necessarily mind the approach. It's difficult to compartmentalize. It's difficult to understand as a fan because you're thinking, well, everything's got to be about winning. If you're not trying to win week in, week out, and if your moves and decisions don't reflect you trying to win week in and week out, then why the hell are you here? Why should we want you? Why should we feel confident that you are the guy to lead this thing moving forward? Now, the track record speaks for itself. I'm all in on Adam Peters. I coined the phrase, we're at the mercy of the evaluator. But how they try and how they continue to strike that balance of rebuilding versus winning now is going to be very critical to the first couple of years of this rebuild, however long it takes to get this thing back on track. 1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lounge. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BCP. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we will continue to let you hear from new Commanders General Manager Adam Peters. He joined Grant and Danny earlier today right here on The Fan. When we come back, we'll let you hear Adam Peters and his thoughts on a certain problematic position group. That's next. You're The Fan. Welcome back. It's overtime here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. It's the Youngest in Charge movement. Linnell Willingham taking you up to 10 o'clock before we hand things over to Bart Winkler in the Infinity Sports Network. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we will continue our conversation on the Washington Commanders about David Harrison of the Locked On Commanders podcast is set to join us. Jam-packed final hour of the program. We'll hear from our pal Charles Davis of the NFL Network. We'll also talk to former Clemson head coach Tommy Bowden as we get geared up for the college football season. Speaking of the college football season, about a half hour away from year two of Coach Prime in the Colorado Buffaloes, the hell with what Paul Feinbaum had to say. One of the most relevant teams in all of college football kick off their 2024 campaign in about a half hour on ESPN. So make sure you keep listening on that free Odyssey app or whether you're in the car, but tap into Coach Prime and Company as well. I'm sure tomorrow, starting bright and early at 6 a.m. Eastern time, you will hear the Sports Junkies recapping what happened in Boulder, Colorado. I'm super excited to see Coach Prime and Company take the field. I think they're much improved on both sides of the football, the offensive line, the defensive line. Should be a good one watching them here tonight. I'll be real. I don't know if Coach Prime and Company are going to blow this team out of the water. Talking about North Dakota State. North Dakota State, obviously one of the perennial powerhouses in FCS football. We'll see, though, if Colorado can handle business. The Bold Buffaloes, rather, 11.5-point favorites going into tonight. We'll see if they can cover the spread, so to speak. That's how you know it's football season. We're talking about covering spreads. Great, great, great. As I mentioned, Adam Peters, new GM of the Washington Commanders, joined Grant and Danny earlier today. He gave some thoughts on Noah Brown. And part of his Noah Brown explanation I thought was really interesting. And this is, to me, what makes good front offices. He gave Lance Newmark, the assistant general manager, all of the credit for bringing in Noah Brown. And why does that matter? Because everyone wants to feel involved in the process. That's how you ensure that there's good camaraderie within your front office, within your building, checking all the egos at the door. Everything is about what's in the best interest of the Washington Commanders. He talked about what success looked like for 2024, and I think if you were to ask all of our different personalities here on The Fan and over on our sister station, the Team 980, if you asked all the personalities what success looks like in 2024, for the Commanders, I think there'd be a bunch of different answers. The answers would be all over the place. Because I think success can be measured in one of two ways for this team. One, the win-loss record, obviously. And then two, the progression and maturation of rookie quarterback Jaden Daniels. See, there are some folks that are going to tell you, hey, this year, the hell with how many games they win. The hell with how many games they lose. It is all about whether or not Jaden Daniels, by season's end, looks as if he's well on his way to being an upper echelon quarterback in the National Football League. And I know, I have already crowned him the next great Washington quarterback. I know, excuse me for having a little bit of damn excitement about a kid that's come in and done everything the right way. I apologize. No, I don't. You get what I'm saying, though? As Commanders fans, we've been beaten over the head, battered, used, abused. When it comes to the quarterback position, we latched on to Taylor Heinicke. We latched on to Carson Wentz. We latched on to Sam Howell as recent as last year. This kid, though, I'm telling you, it's safe. It's safe to get behind him. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll take a quick timeout to get us back on schedule. When we come back, we will let you hear from Adam Peters talking about a problematic position group on the team still. Plus, we'll start to look at, should we be more critical of the job Adam Peters has done putting this roster together here in year one? That's next on The Fan. One 800 636 1067 is the number of the MGM National Harbor Listener Lines. You can tweet at me as well. It's at @NELL_BTP. It's the youngest in charge, Mubin Linnell Willingham, here with you on this Thursday night edition of Overtime. 1 week away from the start of the regular season in the National Football League. We'll take a spin around the NFL coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Plus, we'll get you the first installment of the year of the most highly anticipated power ranking segment in all of sports talk radio, Nell's Super Six Pack, my top six teams in the NFL as we get geared up for week number one. Right now, though, as we've been saying all show long, really, new Commanders general manager Adam Peters joined Grant and Danny earlier today and touched on a bevy of different things. The signing of Noah Brown, what success looks like for the 2024 Commanders. He also talked about balancing the rebuild versus winning now. What we're about to play for you next, to me, is probably his most interesting answer during his 20-minute sit-down with Grant and Danny. Here is new Commanders general manager Adam Peters earlier today with Grant and Danny talking about the cornerback position.
You know, internally, we feel a little bit better than maybe externally, and that's the case most of the time. We see these guys play day in and day out, and you go down the roster and the depth chart, and all of these guys have gotten better. When you're talking about the secondary, really, Emmanuel Forbes has gotten significantly better, and that's a testament to how he's practiced, how he's worked, and how he's been coached. Jason Simmons is an excellent coach. Joe Witt, those guys have really gotten him to improve quite a bit, and he's done the work too. He's made a bunch of plays in the last few practices. So, you know, and then Mikey Sanders still has been awesome inside of the nickel, and he can play some outside too. And St. Juice is long, athletic, and has made a lot of plays on the ball this camp as well. So, it remains to be seen how we do on the field, but very confident in all those guys and the coaching staff putting them in the right place to succeed.
Hey, look, Adam Peters, what else is he supposed to say, right? Because let's just be real here. It is August 29th. The season starts in a week and 3 days. You're on the road in a week and 3 days against Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Jalen McMillan is drawing rave reviews. Rashad White. You have four cornerbacks on your roster right now. Four. Not five. Not six. Not seven like the amount of safeties you kept. You have four cornerbacks on this roster right now. And to be quite real with you, my opinion, only one of them is worth a damn. That's Mikey Sanders still. Your rookie out of the University of Michigan. What Washington has out right now at corner, from my vantage point, it ain't acceptable. It's not going to cut it. Especially in a year in which you are playing the Bucs to open up. In a year where you've got to take on the Cincinnati Bengals in week number two. Right now, it don't look too good. Don't look too good for this group. Talk about the cornerback group. I worry about their ability to get things going. I worry about their ability to stop people. But the thing I've continued to say about corner is that it's a position, in my opinion at least, that isn't totally dependent upon the guys playing corner, if that makes sense. Right? I don't think the corner position, in whether or not they have success or not, I don't think that that is all on the corners. I really don't. See, the thing about defense, and I guess it's like this on offense as well. The thing about defense, though, is a lot of the times your secondary is relying upon your pass rush, and how good your pass rush is also dependent upon how good your secondary can be, how long they can cover. And I think that's the position then right now. Truly. Like, that is the position I truly feel Washington is in right now. Now, Adam Peters talked ad nauseum in that cut about the improvement of Emmanuel Forbes. Be honest with you, AP. I love you. I think you do a tremendous job of talking to the media. I think you've done a pretty decent job putting this team together. You can't look me in the face and tell me you're comfortable with Emmanuel Forbes as your starting outside corner. Not if you're being real. If you're trying to pull wool over my eyes, okay. If you're trying to do coach speak for radio, not put any of your guys down, okay, I get it. But a woof. Emmanuel Forbes and Benjamin St. Juice, your two starting corners last year for a defense that gave up the second most passing touchdowns in NFL history. Those two guys are returning as your starting outside corners. So, excuse me. I send my sincerest apologies to Adam Peters in the Commanders front office for being a wee bit skeptical about what they have right now at the cornerback spot. Four guys. One talented football player. That's how I would describe. That would be the name. If like the cornerback group for Washington right now was a boy band, it would be one dude and three bums. It would be one guy with a future, three guys that don't have one. In my head, I came up with a lot better boy band names than that. But you get what I'm saying here. They are a group that individually, to me, aren't that good. But you put them together and you add a pass rush and you add a game plan, maybe they don't look as bad. But when I see Emmanuel Forbes and Benjamin St. Juice in back-to-back preseason games give up touchdowns in the red zone on fade balls against two receivers that are backups, makes me feel some type of way. And the issue with both of those plays, neither Forbes or St. Juice got their hands on the guy. That cannot happen. Let me tell you what. You don't put hands on Mike Evans week one in Tampa, I guarantee your ass he goes for 200-plus yards. You don't put your hands on Chris Godwin in Tampa, I guarantee you're going to be a long, long game. You're going to be in for a long afternoon. Point blank. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Should we be more critical of the job Adam Peters has done putting this roster together for year one? I'm the one that coined the phrase, we're at the mercy of the evaluator. I get it. But when I look at them with just four corners, when I look at their lack of depth on the interior offensive line, when I look at their lack of depth in unproven guys at the edge rusher spot, I have to wonder, should we be looking at Adam Peters and company under the microscope a little bit finer? And I do get it. You cannot fix everything in one offseason. I'm no idiot. If you've been listening to me long enough, you know damn well. I'm the quite opposite. The furthest thing from. But I'm going to ask questions when questions are raised. And as we sit here on August 29th with four corners on the roster and only one that can really play, I have question marks. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. I got Captain Todd out in Florida. What's going on, Todd?
Hey, what's up, buddy?
How you doing?
It's good, man. Good. It's always good to be on with the original, the one and only, the real, true youngest in charge movement.
Well, thank you.
Because there's only one.
Thank you, Captain Todd. Tell that to,
yes, sir.
Tell that to Doc Walker and Toby Altizer.
Who? I've never heard that guy.
Damn. What's up, Todd?
Not much, man. You are 100% right, man. I got questions about edge rusher. Like, I'm supposed to get excited about Clelin Ferrell. I was more excited for KJ Henry than Clelin Ferrell.
Yeah.
Corner is a big, big, big question mark. You know, I like Sammer still. I like him a lot. He's a nickel corner. Is he supposed to change the entire secondary? Is he going to take Mike Evans down? I got questions at tackle. We have replacement level tackle at best. At best. Receiver after Terry is also replacement level at best. I'm supposed to get excited about Olumide Azekias. Like, maybe he can be good. Who knows? But, like, there's just no excitement there. Even the kicker isn't even exciting at all. So, yeah, there's a lot of questions. And I get it. You can't build Rome in one day.
Right.
But I just – there are some things I feel like were just completely ignored.
Yeah.
Just ignored.
I think it's a fair point. The one thing I would say – is continue to harp on, like, you can't do it all in one offseason. What we're going to talk about here is in the rest of the 7 o'clock hour is where they maybe could have went differently when it comes to allocating money and resources. Todd, I appreciate you tapping in, as always, my brother. Hope everything is well with doing the fam. It just is what it is. I think Todd hits it right on the head. All of my confidence in this group is dependent upon Jayden Daniels going out and being a bona fide star in year one. Some people are going to say, oh, that's unlikely. Oh, it's not fair to put that type of pressure on him. It's not fair to give him those type of expectations. The hell it is. The hell it is. And here's why. It's a National Football League. Not for long is the other acronym that people use. If you don't win in year one, you get a mulligan. If you don't win in year two, depending on circumstances, you get another mulligan. But eventually, this group's going to be tasked with competing. And when I look at this roster now, it's hard for me to look at them and go, wow, this group's ready to compete. 1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Lister lines. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. Adam Peters, according to the cut we played, relatively bullish on the Washington Commanders, specifically at the problematic corner spot. Should we be a little bit more critical of the job Adam Peters has done putting this roster together for year one? Is it fair? Now, I understand me asking that question, some of you are probably rolling the hell out of your eyes. Saying, what? What? No. You're the one that coined the phrase, we're at the mercy of the evaluator. You're damn right I did. We are at the mercy of the evaluator. But as I look at this roster on August 29th, you've got four corners right now. Yeah, I'll be a little bit skeptical. You kept seven safeties. You have a surplus of talent at defensive tackle. Your receiving core outside of Terry is a bunch of Jags. Yeah, I'm going to be a little bit critical. But as I said, critical, but also optimistic, because I know this year is all about Jayden Daniels. I understand he potentially can be good enough to mask all of the other deficiencies on this roster. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. JT is out in Centerville. What's going on, JT?
Hey, what's happening, man?
What's going on?
Well, I'm almost 53 years old in 2 months. I lived through the 80s Redskins, and I know what a real team looks like and a real build. That's what this looks like. So everybody that's calling in saying, I can't get excited about this, shut up. Y'all have no idea. It's usually younger people that's calling in, shut up. Y'all don't have any idea what it's like to see a real football team. Yes, it's about a quarterback in today's game, but back then, that's not what it was about. You got to build around. For what? We ain't got the best secondary right now. Okay, it's 6 months into new ownership, drafting new players and getting new players in. It's going to take time, but I guarantee you, you can mark this down, they're going to be better than a lot of people think they are. Minus the secondary, because they got coaches that know what they're doing, and they got people in the front office who ain't scared to make decisions that's right for the team, not for the people.
JT, I agree with that 100%, and I'm part of the younger group. I feel like, best case scenario, this is a 9-10 win football team. But I also can see a scenario in which they only win four games again. See, it's going to go either way. And as you said, I think it's all dependent on the quarterback and how much he can elevate the guys around him. Because I think by season's end, it'll be very clear he's probably the most talented guy on this team.
Absolutely. But I'm going to say this, and you probably heard this cliche many times.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if they win four games. If they win every game, if they win 17.
But JT, hold on.
I'll take that.
JT, hold on now. You just told me you're what, 52 years old?
Be 53 in November.
November what, JT? I'm a November baby too, brother.
November 6th, Scorpio all the way, baby.
November 14th. So we two Scorpios. So we get down the same way, JT. I pick up what you be putting down. I say this to all of my older fans in the fan base, brother. You 52 years old. What the hell you mean? You don't care if they win four games. Respectfully speaking, you've watched this group be the laughingstock of the NFL for the better of the 2000s. How many more seasons are you willing to piss away for them rebuilding? You deserve a winner, brother.
I'll give them two, and yes, we do deserve a winner.
For
but
sure.
You disregarded the second half of my statement.
Mm-hmm.
I said I don't care if they win four games. If they end 17.
Right, okay.
For real,
being competitive.
Not garbage time.
Right.
Exactly, it takes time. Think about this. Maybe people that call in got to do their research for history. Jack K. Cook wanted to fire Joe Gibbs after two games. Wanted to send him off the road. Charlie Cashley kept Joe Gibbs there, and look at what we had. That's history, because the man knew how to build a team.
For sure.
The people that are there now know how to build a football franchise. I don't care if they win three games, four games. If they end 17, that's more important than right now. Now, next year is a whole different story. But right now, you got to give them time to work.
For sure. JT, I appreciate you as always. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Adam Peters joined Grant and Danny earlier today, exuded a vote of confidence to the cornerback group here in Washington. But as I look at this team, and on cutdown day, I was kind of disappointed. Maybe I was a little bit drunk off the Jayden Daniels hype, but I thought all offseason long, this is probably a 9-10 win football team, best case scenario. I think the quarterback has the ability to elevate the other guys around him and mask some of their shortcomings, like offensive line, corner, edge rusher. I think when you got a bona fide star at quarterback, it eases the burden everywhere else. I still feel that way. But as I look at this roster and I see four corners, and only one of them is worth a damn, as I said, I'll continue to repeat it till I'm blue in the face, it makes me go, did they properly allocate their resources offseason? Should we be more critical of the job Adam Peters has done putting this roster together in year one? Let's go to Martin in White Plains. What's going on, Mark?
Brother Manel, wound star, baby. Grab them ears and wound star. Take the chill pill.
I'm cool, man.
We haven't even seen the team. We haven't even seen the starters on the field yet, the first team. We got to wait until week one, September. We got to wait until week one, let them get out there on the field and play. I get what you're saying. The defensive backs are very suspect. I get it. I completely agree with you. But besides that, this is a totally new team.
Hold on, Martin. You hear what you just said, brother? That's like going out and saying, man, brother, I just booked the finest honey. She's a stallion, nice long legs, good body, well-spoken, educated, but her breath smells like crap. That's basically what you just told me.
No. Okay, so what I'm saying is this. Our secondary was suspect last year, right? But also,
I'm going to correct you. It was more than suspect. It was more than suspect
as well.
Martin, it was more than suspect. They gave up the second most passing touchdowns in the history of the NFL, Martin.
Exactly. So what I'm saying is, this is not the same defense. We have linebackers now, we have defensive linemen, and we have a good safety group. We have a really good safety group. Also, the scheme is going to work in our favor. You got to think about offensive-wise as well. We don't have that many weapons besides Terry McLaurin. That's one of our wide receivers, but we don't have a superstar wide receiver. But it's all about scheme. If the offensive coordinator is calling the right
totally
team, then we can look like the top. We'll look like the best offense there is.
I totally agree with you on that. I think the quarterback improves everybody. I think Joe Witt Jr., the defensive coordinator, and Cliff Kingsbury will elevate this team with their pen, so to speak. I mean, scheming things up, Martin. I appreciate the call. As always, 1-800-636-1067 is the number. I got Paul out in D.C. Paul, what's going on, brother?
Hey, how you doing, man?
What's going on, brother, man? How are you?
The guy before me kind of stole a little bit of my thunder. I was going to say, this is a different era in football. The four cornerbacks are essentially, we really kept 10 because six safeties can hybrid as cornerbacks, right? And the way I'm looking at it, the way I see it is that Dan Quinn and Witt Jr. are going to be, they're going to probably put more pressure on the quarterback than we've seen here in past years. And
that's
so those
hope.
Safeties,
yes.
So those safeties and those linebackers are going to be in hybrid roles where, you're going to be blitzing Louvet. And you're going to be blitzing Michael Sandstrom and all of those guys. You're going to be, sending that pressure with that speed so that the quarterbacks have to get the ball out their hands fast. And guess what? Now those cornerbacks only got to cover a short part of the field. They can jam those receivers and jump in front of those passes. We've seen that with Dallas Cowboys scheme with Michael Parsons. So I don't pay attention too much because the last regime didn't keep no linebackers, right?
Right, correct.
So, the fact that they got better at the front on the front line with Donald Lawrence and those guys, and, you got Fowler, you got more pressure up front. And then on top of that, you got situations where you got a linebacker core that's super talented and really, really good, and they can call out the schemes really, really well. Those safeties and those cornerbacks are going to have help up front now. So they're not going to have to. Last year, we played a more vanilla style of defense, and those cornerbacks had to cover the field for a longer stretch of period of time. So that's why I think Adam Peterson, when I heard him on his interview this afternoon, on Grant and Danny, I felt comfortable with his statement because they know what we don't know.
Right.
Right? And Dan
for
Quinn
sure.
probably told him, look, because I'm sure Adam Peterson, one of the best in the game in talent evaluation. So he probably like, look, man, we probably need more corners. And Dan Pryor like, nah, for what I'm about to do, they just need to cover the field for a short period of time. We got this. Let's keep them. And guess what? Like you said, Adam Peterson, one of those guys, he'll bring in somebody mid-year if need be. If somebody
sure.
let a good corner go or a contract negotiation go awry, he can bring in somebody off the street and plug them in, So we just seen they brought in Noah Brown.
Yeah.
So,
for sure.
Know.
For sure. I appreciate the call, man. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, top of the 8 o'clock hour here in our nation's capital at about 8:15, our pal David Harrison of the Locked On Commanders podcast going to join us. When we get back, though, we'll continue to ask the question, should we be more critical of the job that Adam Peters has done putting this roster together for year one? When we get back, I'll give you one draft pick that to this point, it's kind of looking like a bust. It's next on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.